Good morning. We are reading from 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So, as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of man, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carouseling, drunken parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give you account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that they are judged in the flesh as men, that they may live in the spirit according to the will of God.
I'm trying to trick you guys up for the longest time. I was coming to get the pulpit, and now I'm putting it back, you know. I did. Oh man, life is good. Life is good. I just want to start off. I want to say to you guys, I'm so blessed to be here. Every morning I wake up, I just think to myself how blessed I am, and I say to myself, Quentin, you are definitely winning, because you guys are a marvelous group of people, kind, loving, some of you guys. Not pointing any elbows. I'm kidding. But we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're almost done with Peter. I hope you guys enjoy the scriptures that God has given us. Definitely chapter 4, and then what we've been doing through the letter that Peter has written. We have gone through Peter. We are almost done. I know some of you guys are probably thinking, I can't wait for him to be done with Peter. But going through the mechanics of the text and just seeing the words, the key words, and different ideas that he's bringing to the text and the things that he's actually saying, and just getting familiar that on that basic level. Not saying you guys are basic, but getting on that basic level later on, as I grow, I'll be moving into that more theological style, more inductive and different things like that. But 1 Peter is just an amazing letter, and he's touched on a lot of different topics. And in 1 Peter, like I said, chapter 1, verse 2, he's talked about the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ. That's major. And because of that sanctifying work, we have that living hope. Because of the sanctifying Spirit, we have that inheritance. Because of the sanctifying work, we have that protection of God through faith. We have that because of that sanctifying work. Then we moved into talking about the milk and that training of the Word, so that we by it may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And we've definitely tasted the kindness of the Lord, and we are enthused by it. We love it, that kindness. And also we love the milk, that training of the Word, and that obedience that he's been talking about. And then we moved and talking in chapter 3, talking about the godly behavior. That godly behavior that we have to be excellent among the Gentiles and different things like that. And then it moves into chapter 4, and this is kind of the theme of chapter 4 that I want us to kind of keep in our minds. This reality, this concept, and it is dying to the flesh to live in righteousness. Dying to the flesh to live in righteousness. And in chapter 4, he says this, he jumps right in and says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And I want to just start off, he says, therefore, since Christ has suffered, and we've followed that word along the text, we'll get to that a little bit later, but he says, therefore, since Christ has suffered, in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Well, what purpose is he even speaking about? What purpose is he talking about? And if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he says it. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you and I were healed. So he says, for what purpose? So that we can live in this righteousness. That goes, like I said, goes back to 2:24, dying in the flesh and to live to that righteousness. And that is a prerequisite in order to be living in the Spirit, or living to that righteousness, crucifying self. And Peter is, again, setting that tone. Peter is definitely setting that tone. He's setting the tone saying, die to that flesh so that we can live for the will of God. Look at verse 2. He says, for what purpose? Because Christ Jesus has suffered death so that we can cease to sin. Verse 2 says, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. What is the will of God? What is he talking about? What is the will? What is the will? And he's saying the will is to live in righteousness, live to and for the righteousness. And then he drops into verse 3, says, for the time already has passed, it's sufficient for you. So, listen, the time has passed. It's been sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He's saying, listen, you've had enough time to go through these things. You've lived in it. We've lived in the darkness for long enough, and he says, it's time. You've exhausted that enough, and it's time for us, you and I, to move forward in living to righteousness. It's time. He says, you've been there. You've done that. And then he goes on and says, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, for the gospel has for this purpose been preached. Even to those who are dead, though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. Living in the Spirit to the will of God. He says, I mean, again, that main thing, dying to the flesh so that we can live to this righteousness. You've been there long enough. You've done these things. And he says, not only is he making this contrast in verse 3 with all the list of things he gives, if we have a question in our mind what he means and how do we live for this righteousness, how am I going to live for this righteousness? Get specific, God. Be more specific for me. And then he makes this contrast. He says, the drunken, and if we want to know, the sensuality, the literal definition of the sensuality is outrageous conduct. Conduct that is shocking to public decency, or being promiscuous. So if you're promiscuous, if we're young, we don't know, really understand. If you're sleeping around, if you're cheating on your spouse or husband, that's adultery. He says, we got some things to talk about. I'm not judging you. I'm not having harsh judgment. The word, the gospel for this reason has been preached. It's talking to us. It's the measuring. It's the standard. He says, the sensuality, you've had that, you've done that long enough. Then he drops in and says, lusts. This is a strong, irregular appetite for lust that we have. Then he says, this drunkenness, this is literally inflamed with wine to be morally harmful. So if you are morally harmful in your intake, then he says, we're still living like the Gentiles. This carousing, which leads to sensuality, which leads to sexual intention. Again, you've lived in the dark long enough, he says. And then he goes on and says, drinking parties. And somebody goes, say, yeah, I take a drink here and there, but what is he talking about? What is Peter really saying to us? Peter is saying, if you're at a party, you may be enjoying yourselves. If you got to have drinking matches going on, beer pong, beer chugging, playing quarters, different things like that. He's like, listen, guys, you've done that long enough. You've been in the dark long enough. It's time to come out and proclaim the excellencies of God. He says, for this reason, the gospel's been preached. For what reasons? To judge the flesh as men, but they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. And then he goes on and says this. He says, but they will give an account. And then he also says in verse 4, in all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. So this is one of the verses I want to stay on for just a second. He says they're going to be surprised. Why are they going to be surprised? Why are they going to be, I want you to think about that. Why are they surprised, those who are engaging in the dark deeds? Why are they surprised? They're surprised because when they see your conduct, again, what he's been talking about in 1 Peter, our excellent behavior, our sanctifying work of the Spirit, when our behavior is excellent, they will look at the life of gluttony that they've been living. When they see structure, and they see self-control, and they see the discipline, that's going to be surprising to them. It's going to be surprising. Have you ever seen someone, this is visible, someone who is really fit, they just have a beautiful, beautiful body, fit, healthy, and you look at that and you say, man, they work out a lot. Well, they may work out a lot, but what we're not seeing is it's the discipline that the people have, that the person may have. So we're looking at the discipline of what they've been doing. So whenever someone who lives a gluttonous life, a life of gluttony, and they see someone with structure, with self-control, with discipline, it's surprising because they see the finished product of the excellency that God has trained us in the Word, the milk of the Word. He's trained us. When they see that discipline, it's surprising to them. They see the finished product, but what is the day in and day out? How is our speech? When we see someone that has terrible speech, filthy mouth, it's not that they just think bad all the time. It's because of some other things that they haven't disciplined themselves in. So we have to work on our discipline. We have to work on our structure. That's the whole reason it's been preached. The purpose is that when people can see the excellent behavior, they see the discipline behind the excellent behavior. And when they see that, it's surprising. Let me do something different. And some people may not be doing it on purpose. It's just they've never been taught discipline. And then that's why he drops into verse 7 and 8. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment. Be sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in our... I love that verse. Above all, above everything else, above the judging people, we are not to judge people in a harsh way. Above all the judging, above all the carousing, above all the drinking, above all things, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. This word is agape. This is the unconditional love. This is that charitable love. He says, be unconditional in your love. That is what's going to win over. He says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So when these drinking parties are going on, when these people that are living this life of gluttony, when they see your life of discipline, they're going to look at you. And then they're going to see the love. What kind of love have you been showing them? Have you been showing that charitable kindness, that love? Because if you're not showing them that love, and we're beating them down all the time, why would I want to come over here with you guys, and all you're going to do is judge me? And then once I do stop my drinking parties and my carousing and my life of gluttony, once I stop all that and I move over to Christ's side, then you start using my old life against me. Why would I want to come over here and stop doing what I'm doing so then you can use it against me the rest of my life? Then he says, verse 9, perfect timing, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Stop using stuff against other people and stop complaining when you do something good for somebody. Has anybody in here been hospitable and then complained about it? Oh, yeah? Oh. I'll raise my hand. Okay. Y'all going, why? We're lying in church today. Lying in church. I'm going to ask again. Have we ever helped somebody and been hospitable to someone and then complained about it? Raise your hand. Some of y'all still lying. Okay. The But he says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. We got to have love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. And because love covers that multitude of sins, he says, for the gospel, this has been preached. And when we love and we have that charity, we give that out to those who are not of Christ, they will see the love and the kindness and they will come to Christ. Because overall, guess what Jesus has done for us? What has he done for us? Not only did he cover the love he's shown, that sacrificial love, that sacrificing type of love, not only did that cover the sins, but it actually did away with the sin. So he says, do away with the sin. We can now live in a hospitable way. And those who are far off, love them. Be kind to them, because when they see your excellent behavior and that excellent charity and that excellent love, that is what's going to bring them over to eternal to show and express and proclaim the excellencies of God, taking us out of that darkness, bringing us into his marvelous light. Then he says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what does love do? Love protects. Love is patient, it's kind, it's considerate of others' emotions, feelings, mental ability. The love of Jesus didn't just cover the sins, but it also did away with those sins. So we have got to, what are these gifts that we possess? What are these gifts we possess, he says? These gifts are, I'm all about the plus. So these gifts plus service equals glorification of God. Gifts plus service equals glorification of God. And that is our whole purpose of living here on this earth and being a Christian and being who we are, is to glorify the name of God. And when we have that, when we have those gifts that he's employed us with, he says employ. He didn't say just have the gift and keep it. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifolds or the features and the forms and that's the ingredients of the grace of God. So what can we be doing? Sometimes I know I get down to myself and I'm like, what can I do? What am I doing with my life? Jesus, I don't know what I can be doing. What's encouraging? What are gifts? Sacrificing time to write letters? Serving the homeless? Women's resource shelter? Baking for people? Serving, inviting someone over for dinner? Serving them? Phone calls? Compliments? Take someone to dinner? Give someone rides? Listening to the hearts of people who are struggling? Visit somebody. Go visit somebody. Encourage somebody. Sacrifice your time and energy to go serve somebody else. Employ your gift. Don't be a waste of space running and doing what the Gentiles do. Praying for individuals in the congregation. There was a lady in the congregation. She was 95 years old, and she used to tell me, Quentin, I don't do anything for anybody. I'm like, there's something you do. I'm like, think about the things you do. She's like, the only thing I do is she goes through the directory, and she prays for every member by name. That's everything. Isn't that what God has called us to do? That's everything. That's the prayer is the motivation to get things done. We all have been given gifts, and we have to employ them for our God and proclaim his excellencies, because the time, he says in verse 7, the end of all things is near. Be of sound judgment. That's a key word there. Be of sound judgment. Another key word is the will of God. Be of sound judgment. Even in your suffering, be of sound judgment. Because he says suffering plus obedience equals perfection. Be of sound judgment. Even in your struggling. And when you're doing that, be obedient to the will of God, living to righteousness, dead to the flesh. Because it's been done away with. Then verse 11 says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen, he says. Be hospitable without complaint, because the glory doesn't go to me. The glory doesn't go to me. But sometimes I feel like it should. I was generous to some people, and I didn't get glorified for it. You better say thank you. We say that all the time. You better say thank you. No, Jesus is saying, no, you better just, you are obligated to do the right thing. They don't need to say thank you. I mean, yes. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm digging. I was digging. But being hospitable without complaint, that is so hard at times because we have expectations for people in ourselves, in the living in the flesh, and we have these expectations. And God is always working in His providence things we can't work in the flesh. And we have these fleshly expectations for individuals, and when they don't meet those expectations, we then complain, and then we judge harshly. But Jesus says, Peter speaking and says, be hospitable to one another as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as God's steward of manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, who belongs glory, dominion forever and ever. Then he goes into verse 12. I love this verse. He says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing. We've talked about this testing. Do not be surprised when you're working, you're living among your day, you're going among your day, and this fiery ordeal comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange thing was happening. He already told you in the beginning, you are going to suffer. Amen? You're going to suffer. So when you suffer, don't get this attitude like, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? It's going to happen. We are going to suffer. It is for our testing. It's for our testing. Now I want you to do this real quick. Go back to chapter, I want you, you need your scriptures out. This is good. God is good. All right, so go to chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. I'm going to take my time and go through this so you can see and I can see the suffering he says that we are going to experience. Don't be surprised when you're going about your day in your excellent behavior and then you have this strange thing happen to you, as if something strange is happening. This is for your testing. In order to grow, we have to be tested. We have to be tested. Chapter 2, verse 19 says, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. This word suffering, remember, is pasco. It means to suffer at the hands of evil men. He says, so when you suffer at the hands of evil men unjustly, do what's right. For what credit, verse 20, what credit is there when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer at the hands of evil men, for it, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. When you suffer and do what's right, you find favor. Some of us in here suffer and we complain, and it's something we brought on ourselves in the first place. Amen? We complain, oh God, something bad's happening. Why is the world against me? Maybe because you were sinning and you were in the wrong place at the right time. Sinning. Something bad's happening. You brought that on yourself. Don't act crazy like something strange is happening. This word suffer, verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. What purpose? Since Christ also suffered at the hands of the man for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. Verse 23, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return while suffering at the hands of the man, but he uttered no threats but kept entrusting himself to God. Suffer. Jump over to chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are approved of God, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give that defense. Suffering again. Go to verse 17 of chapter 3. For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. Verse 18, for Christ also died, but the word is suffered, Pasco, for Christ has suffered at the hands of evil men. Then he drops into chapter 4 again. Suffer. Verse 13 of chapter 4, suffer. Verse 15, suffer. Verse 16, suffer. He's trying to get his point across, isn't he? Amen. He's getting his point across. You are going to have to suffer to grow. So when we suffer the various things in our lives, he says, understand, you can rejoice because you know you are getting stronger and better. That goes all the way back to chapter 1. You don't have to go there, but that goes all the way back to chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Why? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found a result in praise and glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus. Jesus is telling us, you're going to have to suffer for me. All the stuff I've been through. I got you out of sin and you want to run back to it again. Sometimes you're going to have to be tested so I know you're for me and not against me. And you need to be on your best behavior. You need to be on your excellent behavior so you can bring others as well. Suffering is a part of the growth in Christ Jesus. So it says, verse 12, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing as though something strange were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of Jesus, his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you have reviled for the name of Jesus or the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. Make sure. Here he goes. He knows how some of us are. Verse 15. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. I love that, troublesome meddler. Basically what he's saying, if you can't help me, stay up out my business. Stop being a troublesome meddler. If you can't help me in my situation, you don't have a solution, stay up out of my business. Stay out of it. If you can't help me fix it, I don't need you in it to get it even deeper. He says, Don't suffer as a troublesome meddler. Verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he or she is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. What name? Christian, follower of Christ Jesus. This is for it is time for key word. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? That's heavy. That's heavy. Sometimes we're not honest with ourselves and who we are and the way we conduct ourselves in our Christian walk. Can we agree to that? Sometimes we judge ourselves a lot easier than what we should be. And we judge ourselves by the mediocrity of others, and we downplay the excellence that we should be in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we live these gluttonous lives, a life of gluttony, and not discipline and excellence with God. And when we don't live in excellency with God, proclaiming His name day in and day out, he says, be careful because judgment is coming. And it's starting with the good. So what's left for the bad? Ugh. But we must, again, 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, let me just go back. I don't want to use my words. He says, like newborn babies, long or crave for the pure milk of the word, that training of the word. Why? So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you want to grow in respect to salvation, what do you got to do? Jump into the milk of the Word. Jump into the milk of the Word. Training so you can have that excellent behavior in Christ Jesus. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, not because it's difficult to be saved, but it's hard for us because we have this flesh battle. He says it's so hard for us to really kill and crucify the flesh. It's possible if you desire the Spirit of God and the will of God. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will the outcome be for the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Doing what is right. So I have great news right now. If you have killed the flesh, Jesus says, entrust your soul to me. Kill the flesh. This word entrust is to place into the hands of another. Place your spiritual self, place your soul, your spiritual lives into the hand of God, the faithful Creator, and continually be training yourselves in the Word of God and keep that behavior excellent, because judgment is here. We've already been judged in the flesh. We've been judged. Now our life is to, now he says, live to the Spirit. We've been judged. It's happened. Now what are you going to do? Train yourselves in the Word and milk of the Word. So what do we need to do? This is a opportunity for us. So this is the how-to. What do we do? How do we become better? How do we put ourselves in an uncomfortable position so that we can be uncomfortable and have to do something different? Because if we want to grow, we have to do some things we haven't done before if we want to grow. So one of the things I ask us all to do is this. I want us to go home, or even now if you have a piece of paper, get a piece of paper and write down one thing that you need to grow in. If you need to set up a Bible study with someone, or just for you to learn and you to grow and you express the knowledge or gain some knowledge, and do so. If you need to employ this gift of yours, write down what gift you can employ. Is writing a letter, whether it's making visits. I want to make 5 visits to people in the congregation but throughout this next week, so I can put myself in an uncomfortable position and get to know somebody and be encouraged or encourage someone else. Some of us don't even know each other. We've been going here for years. We don't even know each other that well. I'm not telling anybody, but I'm like, who is this? I don't really know that person. You've been going here for 10, 15 years. How do you not know them? We're in this war together, and you don't even know who you're fighting with? So we got to get along with each other. Meet somebody and have dinner with somebody and talk to them and get to know them. Understand them. We are in a battle together, people. And it's not physical. So that's what I want us to do, is grow with one another, grow together so that we can fight this spiritual war together. And if you have a need this morning and you haven't chose Christ and your behavior is less than excellent, then come forward, because now is the time, for it's everlasting too late. God loves you, and we're going to show that charitable love. Ain't nobody in here can hate on anybody. We've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all in the same boat. We're all dying, and we're trying to find the Savior and stick with Him. That's our life purpose, is to stick with Jesus. You got one job, stick with Jesus. That's it. It's not hard. It's simple but not easy at times, but you have one job to do. Be obedient to Jesus. Love Him. Be kind to Him, because He's been great to us. You have one job. Focus on Christ Jesus as much as you can, because we're all in the same boat. So if you have a need, come forward as the song of encouragement is sung right now.